thank you, Pastor Hall, and tell Brandon thank you. It's always a pleasure to get to stand up here. Tonight's message is called 10 Foot Tall and Bulletproof. Well, did everybody get a paper with the totem pole on it? Okay, those will come in. I'll tell y'all what to do with those here in a little bit. A totem pole is a carving made out of tall western cedar trees. You see the totem poles in Alaska, Canada, and in the Washington area. They have different symbols, different figures. They tell about a family. They tell the genealogy. They tell about a family's travels. They're just carvings of different symbols and figures. So now you're probably going, how is a totem pole 10 foot tall and bulletproof? So, 10 foot tall and bulletproof, that's how I describe myself. That's my attitude. You know, who else would be, you know, get their hair cut like this at 60 years old? I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof. You know, I drive Uber on Friday and Saturday nights, preaching to drunks. I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof. But many years ago, you know, and first of all, let me tell you, this is kind of like, to me, it's a story in a way of how I got to where I am today. So many years ago, I was 13 years old, and I did something really, really stupid. I was the youngest of 10 kids. That's probably why I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof, too, because I had five brothers. But at 13, I got caught shoplifting. And my mother had to come and get me from the loss prevention office. All the way home is all she said. And we heard this all the time because Daddy was military. Just wait till your dad gets home. But I'm the youngest of 10. They were both tired by the time they got to have me. My mother's 44 years old when she had me. She was tired of having kids. You know, so they were both, besides that, I was Daddy's pride and joy, so I could do no wrong. No wrong. But I did know this time, I did wrong. But, you know, before I received my punishment, we went out to the garage, and he said, you know, you're 13. I don't think I've ever, ever spanked you. He said, so this is really going to hurt me a whole lot worse than it hurts you. I still don't believe that to this day because I remember that. But when we were done, he said, I want you to grow up and be 10 foot tall and bulletproof. I didn't know what he meant at the time. I really had no idea what he meant. Because we weren't raised as Christians. We were raised as Catholic. You know, we went to church. We went to Mass on Wednesday night for confession. And we went to Mass on Sunday morning. That's all we did. And that wasn't an every Sunday thing. So, you know, being brought up, we weren't taught really about Jesus. We didn't know. You know, we knew about Mary, but we didn't understand that Jesus would have on our lives. So, this is kind of where my totem pole starts. When I was 13 years old, I'm not saying I was your average teenager. I was a pretty good kid, except for when I decided to shoplift. But my totem pole had me at the top, then had school. I was always a good student. Can't spell. There we go. And then it had sports. I love my sports. I love tennis. I love baseball. I love football. I love my sports. And then friends. Not much on family. I was, you know, brothers and sisters. Yeah, they were there, but I marched to a different drum than them. So, The baby, that's right. So, you know, but what's missing? There's no Jesus. But Jesus was there. He's right up there watching. He's watching us. Because it says in Jeremiah 1 and 5, God knows us in our mother's womb. He knows how many hairs we have or we don't have for some of us. And he also knows when we will accept him as our Savior or when we will reject him. In Matthew 26, verse 34, Jesus told Peter, "Verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice." The same is for us with Jesus. How many times, I can't tell you how many, I'm not going to say that I denied him, but that I didn't turn to him when I should have. I didn't know until I was 34 years old, and right down here in the pastor's office at Full Gospel Tabernacle, Robert Bays prayed me the prayer of salvation, and I was saved. Movie. Tom has a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other shoulder. I knew I had that devil on the shoulder. I knew I had that, but I didn't know there was an angel watching over me. Jesus was behind the scenes. He was keeping me 10 foot tall and bulletproof. There are so many things that distract us in our life from Jesus. You know, it doesn't have to be, an addiction, drugs, alcohol. Our phones are the worst distraction in the world. You see these kids on those phones all the time. Now, if I'm on my phone, yes, I got to play my games in the morning. I got to check Facebook out. My daughter thinks I'm on Facebook all the time at work, but I'm not. I do actually work. But I do take a few breaks every little while to check out Facebook. But as I move forward in my life, I knew that Jesus was watching out for me. So my totem pole was really out of whack when I was in my early 20s. Graduated high school, moved to Arlington, then ended up moving to Georgia. To Georgia, and you know, everything was pretty much still me. I'm self-centered. It's all about me. But I did love my job, because without my job, I couldn't do what I loved next. Party. Party, party, party. You know, for the grace of God, I probably should have had 5 or 6 DWIs, but I didn't. I always managed to make it home. How? I don't know. By the grace of God. In 1943, General Robert Scott Jr. was a World War II ace fighter pilot, and he wrote a book called God is My Co-Pilot. It turned into one of the greatest war movies ever. That was kind of me in my early 20s. I mean, I'd work Monday through Friday. I had to be off by 5 o'clock Friday, and by 5 o'clock Saturday, I had to be off. Because there was a party somewhere in the woods, and I had to be there. When I moved to Georgia, I was 19 and a half, maybe. Texas, it was legal to drink at 18. Georgia, it was legal to drink at 21. So I had all kinds of friends because people in Georgia took my Texas driver's license. In Texas, it's 18. like I said, I had no clue how I got home on many a nights. In Exodus 23, it states that we will have no other gods before him. Deuteronomy 5, 8, and 9 says, you must not make yourself an idol of any kind, or an image of anything in the heavens or on earth or in the sea. You must not bow down and worship them, for I, the Lord God, am a jealous God and will not tolerate your affection for any other god. How many people, alcohol, drugs are their god? Money is their god. It can be money, it can be drugs, alcohol, gambling. Anything that you're putting before God on your totem pole, you're letting it control you. And at this point in my life, party controlled me. Even into my mid-20s, I still hadn't let God into my life. He was just floating around up here, keeping his hand on me, protecting me. But I can look back now and say, God saved me. He got me out of jams. He kept me safe, and he kept me out of jail. When I was 29, my first husband and I lived at Circle R Lake. You know what I'm fixing to say. Crystal was there visiting on spring break. She was little. 9, 10, I don't know. He made me mad. Oh, he made me mad. And I decided it was time that I was either going to shoot him or he was leaving. So, God stepped in as my co-pilot. Instead of shooting him, I shot myself point blank in the back of the leg with a 38. On accident. Well, I say God shot me. I say God shot me. My husband at the time went in the house. Joe was 6 months old. He was a baby. Monica was 4. He told Crystal, I'm taking her to the hospital. I'll be back. He wrapped the gun up and put it up in the cabinet. Wrapped it in a towel because he knew his fingerprints weren't on it. But God did this to accomplish two things. Number one, he kept me from going to prison. And number two, he kept my leg from being shattered, because it could have been. Little did I know at the time, had his hand on me the whole time. But again, God's not in the totem pole. He's not in the lineup. A divorce, several other life-changing events put me now in my early 30s. I'm a single mom. I've got 3 kids. Newly divorced, in college, trying to get my degree. The totem pole has changed completely. My kids are my top priority. Then work, because without work, I can't support my kids. Then college, and then me. Well, you know what? If you've got anything on this totem pole above you besides God, something's wrong. Because if you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of any of this other. And if you don't have God up here, you can't take care of yourself. One day, I was probably 32 years old, a co-worker came into my life, and he told me, right there in the hallway at work, God has sent me to you, and you will be my next wife. And I just laughed. I just laughed. Little did I know, I would be his next wife. That was Ricky. And Ricky told me, he said, you know, we got married, and he said, I haven't been to church in a long time. And I want the kids in church. They need to be in church. And he said, besides that, he goes, you know, I'm Baptist. And for them, it's once saved, always saved. He said, but I want to hedge my bet with God. He said, so, I need you to read 1 Corinthians 7:14. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through the unbelieving husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But as they are, now they are holy. So, we started going to church regularly, even got him to going, and got me asking more questions. I wanted to know more. I couldn't get enough. I wanted to know more. I started becoming involved in the church ministry. I was in the women's group. I was over the youth group. And here, when this was Assembly of God, I was the children's minister. But still, my life had so many distractions. So my totem pole still, it just still wasn't quite right. My marriage to Ricky was first, and then the kids, and then college, and then again, me. And then was my church group. But you know, it just seemed like it got harder and harder sometimes. I hadn't quite put two and two together that God needed to be on the top. Still, I wasn't quite living the life that Jesus wanted. There were too many distractions getting between me and Jesus. The good thing is, we don't have to settle for these distractions. With Christ in our life, we can enjoy our lives abundantly. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh only to steal, kill, and destroy. I cometh so that you may have life and have it abundantly." So how do we put God first? It took me quite a while to learn. But my totem pole's kind of disappearing here. But God was first. Then I knew it had to be me. Because I couldn't take care of my family if I wasn't taking care with God. So, there comes the family. And then, there was work. By now, I've graduated. I've got my bachelor's degree. After work came my business. And then comes my community. So, the key to doing all of this is having love, peace, and joy in your heart. Keeping God as our top priority, in Genesis 17:1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the Almighty God. Walk and live habitually before me in perfect, blameless, wholehearted, and complete." Another one says, "Walk habitually before me with integrity, knowing that you are always in my presence." How do we do this? We have to establish some daily habits. Daily habits. We have to pray. We have to worship. We don't have to worship in a church when we worship. Let me tell you something. I'm going down 35 in the morning, 94.9 is blaring, and I'm worshiping with it. Well, we have to spend regular inconsistent time in the Word. I just love the Word of God. It's amazing. You know, how many chances did He give people in the Bible? He never got tired. Well, except for Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, He got tired there. But most people, He didn't get tired. It gives me comfort. Because without God, I can't be 10 foot tall and bulletproof. It gives me the strength that I need to get out of bed every day. And what I know, just a couple years ago, I didn't want to get out of bed every day. I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to go to work. But He brings peace to us and stability to our spirits and renews our mind. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect." We all need to make a goal to have a deep and intimate relationship with God. Let Him into every area in our life. If we don't want God in that area, then we don't need to be in that area. If it's something that God can't be watching or seeing, we don't need to be in it. Thank you, Michelle. Let Him in every area. If God can't be in your bedroom, then you're doing something there that God ain't supposed to know about. If God can't be with you at work, then you're doing something there that God ain't supposed to know about. If you consistently look to other people for answers and for valuation, you're doing something wrong. You look up there. You look to that cross for your answers and your valuation. You pray about this and you ask the Lord to help you stop doing that. Instead of, you need to be taking it to Him, not hiding it from Him. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, "But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our heart." He has tested us. We all have a testimony, and that's why it's called testimony. It's a test. He's going to put you there to bring you out of it. As we live to please God, He promises to bless our lives and make us better. When we decide to serve God, you serve Him with your whole heart. You make Him first in your life. Your soul will prosper. Your joy and your peace will increase. Remember to lean on Him more than anything else. Don't lean on your friends. I mean, yeah, they're there to talk to. He's your best friend. Talk to God daily, constantly. Talk to God. I can't tell you. On Friday and Saturday nights when I'm driving Uber, I can't tell you, that's some of the best time that I spend with God. Especially when some of these bad neighborhoods in Dallas, I spend a lot of time with God there. There's a lot of prayers going on. Jesus, hold my hand. He's not my co-pilot. He's my pilot. Remember to lean on Him more than anything else. Tell Him, "God, I want You to do this, but I can't do it without You." He doesn't expect us to live for Him in our own strength. We can't. We can't. We can't do it on our own. And He understands when we make mistakes. You know what, though? He throws those mistakes away. He doesn't keep bringing them up to you. So if you mess up, don't be discouraged. Don't let it hold you back. Confess it and keep going. God will give you the grace to do what you need to do. One day at a time, you and God together can do anything. Anything is possible with God. I'm going to give you two scriptures in closing. Philippians 4:13, the New King James Version. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13 in the New International Version. I can do all things through Him who gives me my strength. On the back of all of my shirts for Over the Moon BT, on the back of every one of them, it has, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 10-foot-tall and bulletproof. Isaiah 40:30. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and they will not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We cannot be faint with our walk with Jesus. We have to be firm. We have to be proud. We have to be 10-foot-tall. You know, and one thing, not everybody's going to be 10-foot-tall. Linda's going to be 5-foot-tall and bulletproof. You know, and proud. Be proud that we're Christians. Be proud to speak God's word. Be proud to lead people to us. Be bold. When you, like on Saturday mornings sometimes, not so much anymore, but first thing on Saturday mornings for I don't know how long, first thing I had to do was go to Quick Trip, get my 44-ounce Coke. The first one for the day. The first one of many. But I'm not drinking Cokes anymore. But I still... I've switched to diet, but I'm still... That's better. I haven't ate hash browns in a while. Now, tortillas, that's a different story, because I can't give that up. I'm trying. But y'all got me off track now. You know, but if I see like it's spring right now, I see a bunch of motorcycle riders, they're at Quick Trip, they meet there. I'll walk up to them. I don't care how big or how bad, and I don't care if they have that, if they have that little badge on them that says 1%. I'm going to go up and I'm going to talk to them, and I'm going to say, let's pray before y'all hit the road. Let's pray for a hedge of safety over you. God first on your totem pole, 10-foot-tall and bulletproof. Now, y'all all have the little totem poles. There's four to the page. If you take those and you fold them like, fold your paper in half and then fold it like this, because your totem pole is going to change. So you have it, you know, where your totem pole's here. Take that to your bathroom mirror. Put your totem pole on there. If something's out of whack, do what you have to do to fix it. But keep God first and then you. You can't put your marriage before you, because you can't take care of your marriage if you're not taking care of yourself first. You can't take care of your family if you're not taking care of yourself first. Putting God first keeps you full of peace, full of joy. That's it. Thank y'all.